Okay. So, welcome. I'm going to try to tell you something about TypeScript today. So this is a level 100 session. And it's kind of based on my Pluralsight course, Practical Stuff with TypeScript. And so this is basically the short version of that. If you want to see the whole thing, I have cards here to let you watch the entire course for free, but let me know. And I'm assuming knowledge of JavaScript or C Sharp. Who is a JavaScript developer or front-end developer here? And who is a C Sharp developer? All right. So I can't explain the whole of JavaScript. It's kind of a comparison. And when you're a C Sharp developer, you see things that are very familiar. Essentially, TypeScript is ECMAScript 6 and 7, a little bit of 7 also, which is the new version of JavaScript. The current mainstream version in browsers is version 5. ECMAScript 5 is the current version. The new spec that is already approved is ES6, which will be implemented very soon in all browsers. And it is already implemented partly. And ES7 is the version after that. So you get all these new features, plus something very important, and that's typing. So in JavaScript, everything is weakly typed. When you declare a variable, there's no type associated with it. And with TypeScript, you have that typing. So that has advantages, which I will show you very shortly. In fact, now. So I'm using Visual Studio Code here. And this is the wrong folder. So when I have the right folder, I have a little piece of normal JavaScript. And so this is perfectly legal JavaScript. It's not the greatest piece of JavaScript ever written, but it's legal JavaScript, right? Let's make it a little bit bigger. So this is JavaScript. There are a couple of things wrong with this JavaScript, but these are not immediately apparent, right? You come across bugs and all kinds of nasty stuff when you run this kind of code and going to maintain it. But what if I rename this file to a TS file, which is a TypeScript file? Well, Visual Studio Code recognizes that this is now a TypeScript file, and now it's not legal anymore. I get all kinds of errors because I have an output here that doesn't have a var keyword. And that's not legal in TypeScript, and it has all kinds of side effects in JavaScript. And I'm also having errors with output, which is now not typed. Also, I assign output to an integer, and first it was a string. That's also not legal. So that kind of stuff. And you can also, with TypeScript, you can say, well, input, I intend input to be a string. And when you do that, even more things come out, which are not really nice. For example, I do parse two times, one with a string and one with an array, which is perfectly fine in JavaScript because input is not typed. And now I have typed input. So this is the major advantage of using TypeScript. So you can use TypeScript in certain scenarios. You can write browser applications with it. So the normal JavaScript you would write for any front-end app, you can write in JavaScript in TypeScript. But also you can use it with Node. So in this session, I'm going to show you a browser application. So I have nothing against JavaScript. Just to be sure, I think JavaScript is a great language, but TypeScript can save you a lot of headaches in certain scenarios. So how to get started? Well, firstly, I have to let you know that TSC is a command line application which contains the transpiler of TypeScript. What does it mean? Well, TypeScript can obviously not be executed in a browser directly because the browser understands JavaScript. So you have to translate the TypeScript to JavaScript, and that's the job of the transpiler. Well, that's done by a command line application, and that's called TSC. So when I open a command prompt, is this readable? And I say, well, I want a test file, a TS file, and I write JavaScript TypeScript syntax in here. So I say class product. Class is typically TypeScript. And then I save this. And now I want to translate this into JavaScript. So I say TSC test.ts. Let it run. I do it there, and I see two files. I see now the TS file I created and the JS file that is transpiled. So when I type that, I see my class is now converted to a constructor function. So that's basically what's going on in the background, right? When you use a tool like Visual Studio or Visual Studio Code, all Visual Studio does is execute TSC. So I'm using one possible recipe to create TypeScript apps. There are numerous editors available which you can use to write TypeScript. I'm using Visual Studio Code. I like that tool. And I'm going to show you how to set it up with Visual Studio Code. The recipe for other editors is slightly different, but similar. So let's switch to Visual Studio Code again. And now I'm on my setup project. Somehow there's some delay here, but we'll get there. Nope. And here we see a scenario, a typical scenario where you first start an application, a TypeScript application. You have to create a couple of files that are typical for a web application. I have an HTML file. And I have some TypeScript files, and the HTML file doesn't do anything yet. So we're going to create a vending machine simulation. So that's the ultimate goal of this session. And you see that there is one script reference, and it points to app.js. So the browser gets JavaScript, but we are writing TypeScript. So I have a vending machine.ts, that's just a class. So the concept of a class is not very, well, it's not used in JavaScript because there's no class keyword. But in TypeScript there is. And you can even use inheritance and polymorphism, and I will show you that later on. And, it's just an empty class right now. I have a bootstrapper which will boot the application. So I have some initial creation of classes here. In this case, just a vending machine. And I have a tsconfig.json. So this is a configuration file for TSC. So just now when I showed you the command prompt thing, I didn't have any configuration file. I just said transpile this file. And it uses default settings in the background to transpile the file. But when you place tsconfig.json in the directory you are using with TSC, then it will pick up that configuration file and use that configuration. So in this case, I say my target JavaScript has to comply to ES5, because that's what modern browsers will do, and also older browsers. And I use an option out file. An out file means I want one out file for all TS files found. So it's grabbing all the TS files, it's transpiling them, and it stuffs them in one JS file. It's just an option you can use. You don't have to use that. You can also transpile individual files if you want. But in this case, I use that option. So I only have to reference one file which contains all the transpiled TS. And there's also an option called source map. And source map has something to do with debugging. I'll show you that in a second. So the other thing you see here is a task.json file. This is typical for Visual Studio Code, and it defines a build configuration. So in this case, I say, well, I have a... So this is a shell command. In other words, it's a command line call. And you have to call TSC here, and you have to use these arguments. So I'm using the dash p argument with the ts slash as a parameter. And that means look for TypeScript files in this directory. So this is essentially this directory. So it's just looking here for the TS files. So that's the task.json. Well, to execute this task, you can press a certain key combination. You can use Shift-Control-B in Visual Studio Code. It's automatic almost. And if you are very observant, you see a little thing turning in the corner there. And that is actually executing TSC and putting the output file in the JS folder. And in the JS folder, we also see the map file. Well, let's run this thing in the browser. It doesn't do anything yet, but we can press F12, and in the F12 tools, which I will zoom in a bit, we can see that I have a sources, I choose the sources option, and I can see a TS folder. And in the TS folder, I can see my TS files, of course. And in the JS file, I can see my app.js file. But now I can just set a breakpoint here in my TS file, refresh the browser, and it will break. But the browser doesn't understand TypeScript, right? So how does it work? It works with that map file. So the map file maps the outputted JS with the TS file, and the browser understands that. It sees that mapping, and I can debug just like normal. I will debug in the with TypeScript. So that's cool. You like that? Cool? Right. Okay. Oh, that was the demo already. Also, I forgot one thing. There is a certain order of things, of course, because we have a vending machine here, a bootstrapper here, and I put it all in one JavaScript file. So it's kind of handy that first the vending machine class is put into the JS file, and then the instantiation of the vending machine, because else I have a problem. So you can control that with reference paths. So in the bootstrapper TS file, you see a reference path here, which references the vending machine. So it knows so the vending machine has to come first in the outputted JS file. It also has certain advantages with IntelliSense. All right, so let's look at some language highlights. I'm not going to cover everything. It's just the basics and the highlights, of course. some point I want to make is that TypeScript is there to make our life as a web developer easier. So it's just a tool, right? And you can see in this chart, I have censored out a word here because we're at the Microsoft conference, so I have to be careful. So I very carefully censored it, as you can see. But the thing is to make things easier, right? So that's the ultimate goal of TypeScript. So here are the data types you can have, the most important data types you have in TypeScript, which are essentially, well, what you're used to in JavaScript, but now you can actually assign that type to a certain variable. So that's great. So on the left we have the built-in types, and on the right we have the custom types, which you can declare yourself. So, functions. So one great thing about TypeScript is, I think the greatest feature is in TypeScript, is that you don't have to type the word function 100 million times in an application. And one way you can use functions in TypeScript is using arrow functions, which are very similar to lambda expressions. So in this case, I have a class. In the class, I have a function or a method. And that function accepts a parameter, which is of type quarter. And it returns void. So the input as well as the output is typed. I have the fat arrow here and the implementation of the function. Well, there's another great thing about arrow functions is that you love this, or you love this. You can choose whatever you like. So this is a pain in the, you know, what? In JavaScript, right? Because whenever you use this, you don't know what this is, right? Who had this problem before in JavaScript? Yeah, I thought so. So in arrow functions, this is always the thing you expect when you use C# developer, for example. This is just a reference to the class or the object of that class, to be precise. So that's great. You don't have to hesitate or to do var self is this things anymore. With arrow functions, this is always this you expect. So you love this. That's cool. So type definitions. Well, this is actually for the next thing. I will first show you the next stage of our project, which has some more classes. So now when I run this, I actually have some very nice functionality because I can insert quarters. You like that? Wow, I can insert quarters. So how does this work? Well, I have extended the HTML a bit. There is some extension to paid, and I have a button, and it has an onclick event, and it calls machine.acceptCoinNewQuarter. Well, so I have some more classes here. I have a coin.ts, which contains quarter. It has a property value, so that's how you write a property. And it has a function or a method called getImageURL, which is not an arrow function. So this is just a normal function you write, but you don't have to do all the things with the function keyword, etc., etc. in TypeScript. As I said, this is my favorite feature. That's what coin.ts is. I have a bootstrapper that just instantiates the vending machine, and I have the vending machine TS class, which now has an arrow function called accept coin and a private paid. So you can see the TypeScript is kind of similar to what you're used to in C#, because most of you are C# developers. So in this case, I add the value of the coin to the paid property, and then I get the element total, and I update that element. So That works totally fine, but I don't like this code. Who else doesn't like that this code? 10 people. Okay. So what you typically don't want, well, it's a thing of mine actually. I don't want this kind of code in my class because it has to do with the view, right? So there's no separations of concerns here. I've just put all the things in the vending machine. And also this thing is ugly, right? Because I'm actually calling a method in HTML, a JavaScript method. So something has to be done here when I want to keep this application maintainable. So let's do something about that. Let's introduce Knockout. It's just a JavaScript library. But there's one problem with Knockout. As I told you, JavaScript is strongly typed. So that's great, also for IntelliSense. I can just say somewhere in my code, I can say window dot, well, actually, when I do it in the right place, well, normally you will get IntelliSense for that. So TypeScript does have the things that are standard in JavaScript, all the objects that are already there, there's already a strongly typing for that. So it knows the type of all the things that are in the base classes, etc., in the math, etc., etc., of JavaScript. But I'm now introducing a new JavaScript library. It's called Knockout. It doesn't know about TypeScript. It doesn't have typing. So what I have to do is I have to introduce so-called type definitions. So a type definition is a TypeScript file which lays on top of the JavaScript library. And it adds typing. Because else, when I declare some type from that library, for example, in the case of Knockout, it could be an observable, then it won't compile. Because TypeScript doesn't know about an observable. It just won't or compile, it will won't transpile, to be precise. So you can just download a type definition file. There is a site for that. It's called typicallytyped.com. But you can also use some package manager to pull them in. Anyhow, we have a typings folder here. It's called knockout.d.ts, and it contains the typings for everything that is in Knockout. For the rest, the whole thing remains the same. So I still have to reference the JS file. I have to still load it in my HTML. So I now have a script tag for Knockout, and I have a script tag for app.js again. Except now, I'm using data binding. Well, what is data binding? Data binding is that you have a view model, a JavaScript file, and a view, and these are connected. So when one updates, the other one follows. That's basically what MVVM is. So let's see what the output is of this this project. Oh, wow. I can buy some Coca-Cola. So I can now insert quarters, like before. And when I reach a certain amount, I can pay for a certain can, and I can buy it. So this is already getting, this is already getting fairly complex, right? The view is already providing for all kinds of scenarios. And when I do it all in the way I showed you before, it will quickly become ugly and unmaintainable. So now I have data binding in place. So I'm not going to explain Knockout in its entirety, but we can now bind certain elements in the HTML to properties that are in my view model, which is a TypeScript class. So I can say this span has to be a text that renders the paid property in the view model. And in my Bootstrap code, I now bind the view to the machine, the vending machine object. So it knows that it has to use that object to render that output. And I've extended the vending machine TS file a bit. So now paid is an observable, which is just a number, but it provides for the updating of the view when it changes. So this all it does. There's also observable array for the cells. So basically that's what it is. And I have a click event. So you can also define click events in the HTML, and it calls select. And then it holds the cell I have selected. The cell itself is also a class. So I have a class cell here, which contains a product. And it, well, I just say it has a stock of 3. I can update an observable by calling it as a function. And I say, well, it's not sold. I've also added some classes. So I now have a product TS file, which contains the Coca-Cola class. And the Coca-Cola class just has a name, a price, and a category. And category is also a class with a name and a getImage URL. So I'm using all these properties in my view to render the pictures, to get the text, the names for the category and the product, etc., etc. So that's all done with these data bindings. All right. So another important feature of TypeScript is that we now have block scope. So in JavaScript we use to function scope. So when you declare a variable in a closed loop, for example, in this case the much variable, then that variable is scoped to the function. So not to the block it's in between the curly braces, but to the function. So when I do this in JavaScript and I do console log much, it knows what much is. It's still there. And that is because JavaScript uses something that is called hoisting. So actually what it does is all the variables that are declared in the function are put in the background by the browser, are put as the first lines, in the first lines of the function. You don't see that, but it happens. So JavaScript just tells you, well, you've written that code here, but that's not good, I'm putting it here. That's actually what it does. Block scope is actually what you're familiar with when you use C sharp. So with a let keyword, the let does the same thing as var, right? You declare some variable. The only difference is that you now use block scope. So when I say let much is true, much will only exist within the if block, between these curly braces here. So when I now do console log much, undefined. There's actually no reason anymore when you write TypeScript to use the var keyword, because you never want the hoisting thing to go on, right? It's just confusing, at least to me. So I say just when you use TypeScript, just use let in the future. So Knockout told you about that. So let's go, let's shift to object orientation. Well, so now we have inheritance. Because we have classes, we can also inherit from base classes. So for example, I can define a coin base class and derive dime and quarter from that. And go even further and derive from these classes. Also, there's something called super. I like that. Super. So when I have a base method, a base class, and I want to call a method on that base class in a derived class, I can use super. So what is a derived class? A derived class means, in this case, derived inherits everything from base. So everything that is in base will become part of derived. That's basically what it is. But sometimes I want to extend some functionality of that base class. So here I have a base method, whatever it is. It has some base functionality. Couldn't fit on the slide, but you can imagine. And in the derived class, I want to extend that functionality. So I want to call that method. I want to use that functionality in the base class, but I want to do something before or after. So you can do something before, call superBase method, the superBase method, and then it will call this thing and then continue here. That's how inheritance works. There's also a protected keyword. Protected means only available for the class the protected thing is in and for the derived classes. So you already saw private, using private before. Private is only for the class itself. Protected is for the class itself and for the derived class. So in the derived class, I can get to num. But outside the whole class structure, I cannot reach num anymore because it's protected. So by default, everything is public in TypeScript. So it's just available for all things outside of the class, except when you use a private or a protected keyword. And there are also interfaces. So an interface is a definition, a contract. You specify for a class. It's intended for a class. So here I say everything that implements this interface must have name, price, and category. Well, in TypeScript you have an unusual thing going on. You can use the question mark. Whenever a question mark is after the name, it's optional to implement it. So that's something we're not used to in C Sharp, but it exists here. So let's see what that looks like in our project, the next stage. So we're already finished. Are you curious what it looks like now? Yeah! All right. So, hey, I have more products now. And I have more coins. So I can insert a dollar, I can insert 50 cents and whatever. Choose a product and pay. So let's see how I did that. So now in the coins class, in the coins file, I have a coin base class and it's abstract. Abstract means it's not intended for instantiation. So it's meant for as a base class for other classes, but you can't instantiate it. And a base class also, an abstract class can also contain abstract methods, just like an interface. You can say, well, we have a getImageURL. I don't know the implementation for that. The derived class is responsible to implement that functionality. So each class that derives from that base class has to implement getImageURL that returns a string. And you can see type inference also works in TypeScript. So I don't have to specify explicitly that getImageURL returns a string because I'm already returning a string. So it sees, well, the return type is a string. Right? It's called type inference. So in this way, I can just create all kinds of derived classes, get them their own getImageURL. There's another thing going on here, which is typical for TypeScript. You can say public value number. This means the constructor accepts a value parameter, but immediately promote this input parameter to a property. And because it has a public keyword explicitly in front of it, it will create a value out of value, a property out of value immediately. So now I can just say super dot one. And in my vending machine class, as you remember, I get the value from the coin. And that's just this property, which is now a property. Let's go to product TS. So now I have a product. I have a couple of products. But these are all implementing an interface. So in this case, I have a product interface. And the product interface has name, price, and category. You saw that in the slide already. And you can see, well, I can have an initial product which doesn't have a category, right? Because category is optional. But I can have other products that have a category. And when I go to product category itself, it also has an abstract class and some classes that derive from that. I also have a product factory. I didn't show you that earlier, but it just generates a random product for the vending machine to put in the cell. So let's see. On to the next topic. So the next thing I want to show you is that you don't have to do stuff like this after watching this session, right? Be careful about that. This guy is too seriously about this stuff. Structuring code. So when I did, I can still improve the code I have in this solution, right? Because I'm exposing certain things to the global namespace. So what is the global namespace? Global namespace is something you put things in. Every time you instantiate something or declare a variable something that is not inside another structure, for example a class, then it will get to the global namespace. So things are, well, kind of stacking in this global namespace, and it's all fine and well until you put something in that has the same name, and then it will just override the other thing that was in the global namespace. So this is not really a problem for our little vending machine demo, but when your application becomes bigger and bigger, much stuff will be in the global namespace and bugs will occur that you will never find. Trust me, I have experience. So so it would be great that we could group classes, right? So then I would have these benefits. And with TypeScript, I can do that with namespaces or modules. Well, a namespace looks like this. It's actually in the background when you look at the generated JavaScript. It's just a closure. It's just a function where everything is defined in. But on the TypeScript level, we have the concept of a namespace, which can also be nested. So you can have a namespace money, and in that I have a namespace coins, and then I can reference quarter with money.coins.quarter, right? You can also say, well, let's do an import of coins, which is money.coins, and then you can use that object to actually get to the quarter. That's just to make it more readable. So that's what a namespace is. The other thing are modules. So modules are actually TypeScript files. The physical files themselves are the modules. So let's look at that in the final part of my demo. And now I have the same structure of classes and of files. The only difference is that I now use, for example, here you see the products file, and I use the export keyword everywhere. So whatever you export, you can import. So in the categories TS file, I don't have the export keyword in front of the class. I have one export statement on the bottom of the file, which lists all the things. It's actually the same thing. It's what you prefer. But now I can, in the product TS file, I can say import star as categories. So I can import everything from a certain physical file and put that in an object called categories. And now I can just say, well, I want from categories, I want product category. So that's basically how it works. The thing is, for this to work, there are a couple of things. It's kind of an all or nothing deal. So you can do a little bit of modules and a little bit of the stuff I showed you earlier with the reference paths. They are mutually exclusive. So when you use one module, it has to be all modules, because else it just won't work. And you don't need the reference path anymore. I already told you that. So for this to work, you have to use a module loader. And a module loader is something that is not in TypeScript yet. So it's something internal. And it could be, it depends on what environment you use. In this demo, I use require.js. It's very commonly used. And you have to indicate to TypeScript which module loader is being used. So when I go to my code again, and I go to my tsconfig.json, you now see I have a module which says AMD. AMD is a standard for modules, which is implemented by require. So then the modules are outputted to a format that require.js understands. You also see that I have commented out file, because it doesn't make sense when I use modules to create one JavaScript file anymore, right? So the browser now dynamically loads the JavaScript files it needed. So now I now use the out there option, which will just create one JS file for each TS file. So it's even possible with a module loader to load up the things dynamically. So you can create a kind of a single page application or something, and when a certain tab is clicked, then the appropriate JavaScript files will be loaded. And TypeScript also supports that. All right, so there's also generics. I have 1 minute left. This is like the dessert, right? Generics are also supported. So when I have a class of T, I can substitute T for something else, but I have to write the generic class once. So for example, a collection with add, you could create 1,000 collection classes for your product, for your product category, for your customer, for your this and that, but you can also declare it once with a generic parameter. And the generic parameter, the T, so here we have the T. The T will be substituted when you instantiate the class for the type you specify at instantiation. For example, when I say string collection is new string collection, I say the T has to be a string. So now the T is substituted with string in the whole class. So that's also supported in TypeScript. And you can also use generic constraints. You can say, well, T has to be something that derives from coin. So now you have a constraint. Okay, this was my presentation. If you have any questions, come to the expert lounge, please. Then I will be here to answer your questions. Thank you very much.